thought she was gonna be here today.
Do you want me to leave this up here? Oops.
Yeah. Fun seeing the little guys that were just born and now they are walking, holding their mama's hand, going off to their Sunday school rooms. You know, if we'll pay attention, life will teach us all the lessons we need to know. So many people trying to cut corners and they think they can go to a school and learn all those lessons. Well, last time I checked, there is no lesson except life. And no matter how old we get, we're still learning. And to be honest with you, if we aren't learning still, there's a problem. And it's not with society, it's with us. We are admonished in the Bible. Go ahead and bring that up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Apostle Paul admonishes us. He says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We walk by faith and not by sight. This is not to say that we walk blindly. So many, I can't say right, it's going on now. I've just been alive for 44 years, and so I can say for the last 40 some years that I know of, people have always used this to try to say, just do as I said. And then when there's a disaster, they blame it on everybody but the person who's supposed to be taking responsibility. And the Apostle Paul was not telling us to walk blindly. He said we walk by faith, but not by sight, meaning we don't always see the full picture. We don't always see that what we did might have benefited somebody else, even though we were thinking, well, that was supposed to work out for me. Isn't that usually the first person we look at? How come I didn't get blessed out of that? Well, you don't know. What you did might have actually been more of a blessing to somebody else. You know, picking up something that's in the middle of the roadway that could cause damage. Well, stop, pick it up. Well, you know, just whatever. I'm getting it out of the road. I don't want to run over it. Well, I don't want to run over it, and I don't want the young mother who's got a minivan with kids in it coming down the road to hit that thing, go airborne, and kill all the passengers because I didn't want to stop because there's really no benefit. I missed it. I was able to go around it. Or in my truck, I was able to go over it. But the Apostle Paul was by no means telling us that we should follow people blindly, that we should follow what politicians say blindly. I'll be honest with you right there. If you trust the words of a politician, I don't care who they are, folks. They're going to be made a liar regardless. They may not want... How many of y'all remember President George H.W. Bush? Read my lips. No new taxes. Well, here's the hilarious part. He did not bring any new taxes. The only problem is he didn't pay attention to everything that Ronald Reagan had signed into law. And Ronald Reagan had signed in a tax that came into effect while George Bush was president. And so guess what? It made him out to be a liar. But God is not a liar. He's not a man that he should lie, and he has no reason to lie. He tells you something, it's the truth. He tells you to go down this way, you go down this way. If God tells me to pick up a stranger on the side of the road, that's when I pick up a stranger. I don't pick up everybody walking on the side of the road. God tells you to do something. There is a purpose in it. The Bible does tell us it is more blessed to give than to receive. But you need to understand, you will also receive because you keep giving. It's a seed. It's a vicious cycle. I know, Jerry Savelle said his wife told him he's not allowed to give away any more motorcycles. She said, every time you give away a motorcycle, somebody gives you one. And then another one shows up. And then another. He said, I got a whole barn full of motorcycles. He says, I can't give them away fast enough, but she won't let me give them away because of a principle that God put on this planet. It's called seed time and harvest. If you plant a garden, you know all about that right now. If you're a farmer or you know farmers, if you're paying attention to what's going on around you, you know they're planting because there's a harvest. So when we walk, we're to walk by faith and not judge by the situation. See, one of the first things that happens when the economy starts taking a downturn is people quit giving. But the truth of the matter is the giving is what brought their prosperity. And I'm not talking about that today, just so you know. It just happens to be something in there. But they aren't paying attention to walking in faith. I give my tithe no matter what. God tells me to give something, I give it no matter what. I don't care what the price of gas just jumped to. And when I eat out, I try to bless the workers. You know what I mean? Because I don't even know what it is anymore, like $3 or something like that for a waitress per hour. It's way ridiculous. So I tried to bless them. And you know what God has done? I get sick of eating out. I do. If I want to eat out, I have money to eat out. But there weren't too many years ago. Okay, eating out's not an option. Well, we just want a McDonald's hamburger. I'll be honest with you. For what you pay at McDonald's, you might as well go sit down someplace and have a better meal. McDonald's is nice once in a blue moon. I think I'm still burping up the McChickens I had yesterday. And unfortunately, I did say McChickens. There's just two. They're just giant chicken nuggets, pieces, parts, all compressed together and deep fried. But we walk by faith, but not blind. Jesus taught us, let me get my notes here, I believe it's in Matthew 15:14, I know it is. In Matthew 15:14, now he's talking about the Pharisees here. The disciples said, hey, don't you know the Pharisees were offended at you with what you just said? And Jesus turned around and he said, leave them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Now here's the thing. When you have blind leaders, they don't know where they're going. We don't let blind people drive cars, do we? No, because somebody will get killed. Now, you're driving down the road. Most of us in here have a driver's license, or soon will have one. You're driving down the road. How do you know where the ditch is? Well, on most roads, unless you're on a back road, there's a real easy way to see where the ditch is coming at. There's a white line. And as long as you stay on this side of that white line, you're good. But you see, you're not really driving by faith. You are indeed driving by sight. Now, I'll be honest with you, there are back roads you get on. You can't tell the difference between the road and the ditch. There's been a few of them where you could tell where people couldn't figure that out and they went off and out through the field. But if we pay attention to what's around us, what's going on, to the markers that are identifying the problem. You know, we got little markers that indicate a curve. We have a sign usually 50 yards back that identify there's a curve, slow down or be prepared for it. But we don't do that. We ignore the obvious things that are right there in front of our face. The other day, Actually, a couple weeks ago now. I'm just still dealing with the scab on my elbow. We did some work on our house, and so I didn't want the subfloor to get wet again. So I'm out putting tarps down. Well, the only problem is there's an opening for the basement in this, and we couldn't put up walls yet to secure it and keep people from falling in it. So I'd laid some ladders over it, but I had still had to cover it. Otherwise, the basement fills up with water because there's a big hole. And so I laid a board right at the end of it, noting I put this board at the end. Everything from here on is dangerous. And I'm thinking in my head, I got to make sure I tell Angela and the boys and anybody that comes over, don't go over there because you can't see the hole anymore. So I turned around, walked over, picked up a board, walked back over, and whoop, guess who ignored his own boundary? And as the board, I told my family, I said, it's kind of slow motion, the board. The board I was holding went up in the air, and I just kind of watched as the floor level came eye level and as I fell through the hole. Fortunately, it was only about 4 feet wide, and I hit my head and my arm and stuff on the other side. And thank God that I didn't fall all the way to the bottom. But you see, I had ignored what was already there. See, we do that, walking by faith. Or what we call walking by faith. See, I believe God heals, but I also believe he gave us doctors. There's a whole group that says God heals, you don't go to a doctor. If your loved one dies, they die. I got news for you. If my kid needs to go to the hospital, they're going to the hospital. The signs are there. You can't ignore signs that say, hey, this is what's coming. Art, remember, this side of the board is the hole. That's not the first time I fell into the basement. The other time I was standing on the brick wall and forgot where I was at and took a step back where there was an opening. Fortunately, I was able to jump and only fell about 4 feet. Boy, it was a hard hit, though. Praise God, the hole's covered up. No more falling. There's stairs. Proverbs 22 and 28 says, do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. I remember as a kid, we had on the backside of our property, of the house we lived in, there was probably only about an acre there, but there was this old walnut tree. And back then it seemed old. And I remember seeing buzzards would come and sit in it, and you know, and it's like, oh, dead tree. Well, they cut that tree. Well, it really wasn't dead, now that I think about it. There was always walnuts around it, and there were always leaves. It just always looked dead. I said, why don't they cut that down? Dad said, well, it's the landmark. That's the tree they marked the corner of that property off back when they separated it. And that's what we're being told. Don't remove the landmarks. Don't remove the things that remind us of where boundaries are, that remind us of what has happened. See, in the Middle East, it was not an uncommon thing, and they weren't idols, to go and see a pile of rocks stacked on top of each other. It was a marker. It identified that something happened. Read in your Bible. You will see where the patriarchs in the Old Testament would do this. It said they built a monument or a pillar. They just stacked rocks on top of each other. And it reminded them when they were traveling back through there, hey, this happened here. God provided here. But you see, what we're being told is don't worry about what you know and what you remember. God's always doing a new thing. Well, yes and no. There's nothing new on the planet. He's just doing it new in you. To you, it's a new thing. And so today we're experiencing so many things that are happening on this planet and in this country. Is it Matthew 24? In Matthew 24, Jesus begins, the disciples, they're curious. They want to know. They said, Lord, what will be the sign of your return? What will be the sign of your return? Jesus starts listing off all, I'm going to actually go down through it. This wasn't part of the message, by the way. God just changed gears on me. No wonder that didn't sound right. I'm in Matthew 25. All right, 15. Therefore, Matthew 24, verse 15, we'll start there. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, and now my Bible says, whoever reads, let him understand. By the way, he was not talking about Pilate coming and showing up on Pentecost. Because if that were the case, then he's already returned. There's a whole new abomination of desolation that we are unaware of yet. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who's on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who's in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. He's starting to warn us of things that are happening. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Okay, now I know that it's, people tell us it's just the way we perceive things now. But I'm telling you, time goes by faster. There is no way. 4 years in high school, drug on forever. I just couldn't wait to be out of school. That was 27 years ago. Where did 27 years go? It's gone. Just like that. I got a son who'll be 20. What happened to the time? The Bible says the days will start to be shorter. In other words, things are going to pick up as things are happening. Then if anyone says to you, look, there is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise, show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. There has been and will continue to be people who rise up, they will demonstrate power. Do not let signs and wonders be what you base your faith on. Jesus said an evil generation seeks signs and wonders. I don't care if you can pray for the sick and they're healed. I care whether or not the love of God is coming out of you. And if I cannot feel the love of God, then I'm standing back. But there will be people coming in to deceive. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. I have to think about this scripture every time I think about the wacko in Waco. He claimed to be the Christ. Lured these people out into the desert. Husbands and wives. A bunch of dumb husbands. They traded their wives for machine guns. What idiots. And then they followed him to their death. The Bible clearly states, he's not in the desert. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to happen just like that, super fast. See, what is it? 1.3, over 1.3 million miles per hour, something like that. You remember how fast light travels? I think it's what it is, something like that. Millions of miles per hour. Boom. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Now, I can't tell you for sure what this is, folks, but I can tell you what Genesis says about the stars. The stars were put in the sky as a sign for times. So in other words, by the way, that's how they found Jesus as a swaddling baby, was his sign was in the sky. Those of you remember a couple years ago, we played this video that we had of, he was it's an astronomer, right? Yeah, he was an astronomer. And because of computers, praise God for computers, especially when they work right. But because he was able to play back and the solar system is on a schedule and everything is timed, he was able to play back all the way to the time of Christ when he was born. And the sign that they were looking for, we keep saying, I remember as a kid, people who didn't know anybody say, well, that bright star, that's a star over Bethlehem. Okay, that's in the north, and I'm not real smart, but pretty sure that Bethlehem is way southeast from us. And that star is over here in the north. It's not the North Star, folks. And it turned out it was three planets, wasn't it? If I remember right. He showed by mathematics, for you math freaks, you love math, you'd love that, figuring it out. That three, at that particular time, three planets came together and formed from a distance what looked like one huge star. But it was only there for a short time, and it won't ever happen again, they said. But that time, it was set for the sign of Jesus. What will be the sign? I don't know, but obviously wise men did because they knew what they were looking for. I've never found it. But these guys did, so much so that they got their caravan together. Everybody packed up in the minivan and came over and said, hey, where's he at? We found his sign. We've been looking for it. So I don't know what it is. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn this parable from the fig tree, which its branch has already become tender and put forth its leaves. You know that summer is near. So you also know that when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. All those who see these signs, the people that see those signs will not, that generation will not pass away before they see Christ. By the way, typically anytime you look in the Bible and prophetically or parabolically speaking, the fig tree represents Israel. When Israel gets ready to begin to produce on her own, and Israel is just about there. Because we know the United States is slowly turning its back. Once we do it, they have to be grown up enough to stand. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words by no means shall pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So, again, quit worrying about trying to predict exactly when Jesus returns. But as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days of Noah before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day of Noah entered the ark. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two women will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore that you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. Now, The other day, on Tuesday, as a matter of fact it was, I hadn't paid much attention to the news or anything, and then I saw Katie had said something on Facebook, and I didn't go into checking everything out. But then I did stop and click the news later, took a little break. And I told Angela, I said, at that very moment, a weight to pray. I prayed for the United States like I've not prayed in a long time. And I prayed for the United States, but this time I was praying. I didn't know what to pray, so I prayed in the spirit and kept letting that flow because I began to feel we're seeing the signs. Today, Christians are hated more than any other group. We're hated just because we're Christians. That's it. Our country will not stand up for what's right with the corrupt leadership we have in all aspects. We have men and women who claim to be godly and turn out they are as ungodly as the Satanists themselves. And I began praying, and I felt the Lord begin to tell me, it's happening. We're seeing the manifestation of Scripture. I said, it's not just the United States. We're now just hated in this country. Everybody, like as I said it a couple months ago, a friend of mine had said something on Facebook, and I just said, you know what, I'm done. I'm going to voice my opinion. And I know that I'm a Christian, and I know he has at least one other Christian friend, because all of his other Christian, or all of his other friends, blanking Christians, this, and I got on there and shared my views. He deleted the entire thread because I told him the truth. They call us hypocrites, but the problem is they were judging us by one or two people. But his friends jumped on, and they hate just because we're Christians. They might meet you in person not knowing, and they think you're a great guy, but the second you tell them you're a Christian. I even read a report a couple years ago that stated that telling an employer you're a Christian is not a good thing anymore. And the reason being is many Christians have become lazy. They become entitlement mentality. They think because they're a Christian, if they find out the guy hiring them is a Christian, well then, hey, you know, he's going to cut me some slack and all this. And that is totally bogus. You work hard, you deserve, male or female, you deserve the pay for that job. If you're doing your job. But just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're entitled to a job. We got videos popping up all the time now of Christians being beheaded. And we don't do a thing, even though it's genocide. We jumped into an entire war in the 60s, in the 50s, to prevent genocide. And now we're allowing it. Just because we're Christians. But we're not to lose hope. We walk by faith and not by sight. I don't worry about what's going on. I pray. There's a difference between praying and worrying. And by the way, as in the days of Noah, so will be the Son of Man. In other words, business was as usual. Things kept moving. Commerce still happened. I know people tried to flip that around to where the evil was so great. The evil has been great for centuries. Let's be real. When Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, he meant it. And that was in his day. It's not necessarily, it's the time, and there will be people getting married. I know some of you just got back from a wedding yesterday. We got wedding. We got all kinds of things happening. We're burying a dear friend. Life goes on, is what they were saying. It'll just keep on going. But the problem is if we are not one living the life of a Christian, they aren't going to know. And if we aren't opening our mouth when we're supposed to, again, I don't believe that you're supposed to be going out there just hammering people all the time. You take the opportunities. You take the opportunity to say, hey, you know, here, you want to talk about it, and then they ask you what you think. You can always do that. You know that the church grew its greatest when it was being persecuted. Our time to shine is coming. But we do need to pay attention to the ancient landmarks. Things that were put there that said, hey, there's a hole here. Don't step in the hole. But I walk by faith, brother. I'm just going to keep. You're going to walk. You're going to fall in the hole. You're going to step in the trap. See, that's really all I wanted to tell you. Don't step in traps when you don't have to. Don't step in those holes that somebody dug to try to trip you up and capture you. If you got people that you're holding in unforgiveness, forgive them. By the way, it's not for their benefit. It doesn't, they don't know and they don't care. It's for you. Well, I'm going to hold this grudge. They don't deserve it. You don't deserve forgiveness either. And if you don't forgive, the Bible says you're not forgiven. That is cut and dry. That's words in red. I don't care if Jesus hadn't died and risen again yet. Truth is truth and it always stands. So if we will pay attention to what's going on, look at the landmarks. Hey, there's a curve in the road. Maybe I ought not go straight off. Anybody seen the out here on 95, that curve? Did you notice the trees and the bushes out through there through Craig's yard? There's no black marks. They didn't hit the brakes. I have no idea how fast they were going. I know I've taken it a little faster than the speed limit, and you can do it without flying off the road. They ignored the fact there's a curve. You cannot ignore the things, yeah, possibly. You cannot ignore the things that are there for a reason. If God told Solomon to write down, do not remove the ancient landmarks of your fathers, there's a reason for that. Hey, you know, and here's something else. All of you fathers and grandfathers, because I'm doing it with my sons. You got children, I want you to take time and tell your children some of your family history. Good and bad. Because I'm going to tell you right now, when you start doing it, a lot of things will make sense to you. Oh my. See, but we don't want to talk about that. That's all the past. God didn't say get rid of the past. Otherwise, he'd have wiped our memories and we wouldn't remember things from 10 seconds ago. There's a reason we have a memory. It's so we remember and we don't do those things. I've told my boys my struggles. And I always make sure that they know how foolish the things I fell to were. But they need to know they may have to face that battle. They may have to face that fight. But no, somewhere along the line, well, no, that's all under the water and all this. That's all bridge under the water, under the bridge. Yeah, bridge under the water. We're in trouble. I'd like to have known some of the things my grandfather did. Because when I started learning, I was like, holy smoke, I have that tendency. Then I found out, you know, when the boys, they hate it. But when we get to wrestling around, I get them and I hold them. Joshua used to hate that when he was little. He still hates it. But he's just a little bigger now, so I have to hold on even tighter. And they all did. They'd come and play rah-rah. And when Daddy got tired of playing rah-rah, okay, it's grab you. Because they somehow don't wear out as quick as you do. But holding on, I found out was another thing my other grandfather did. Except he was always drunk and he would unintentionally hurt people. But squeezing and holding was his thing. I was like, holy smoke. Somebody could have told me this before I was 40. But no, we don't want to bring all that stuff up. How about that's a landmark? That's a mark. It's something I needed to know. And by the way, make sure you got your family history right. I was talking with my brother Friday. He was over, and we would start talking about things in the family. And, you know, for years we were told we had an uncle that was up on the first flag raising on Mount Sarabachi at Iwo Jima. And so, man, you know, we went through life. I went to the Marine Corps with this hoorah, gung-ho feeling, you know, that, hey, I got an uncle who was up on the flag and found out he was on the ship. He was there. He was chemical warfare, but he didn't get there until the flags were already raised. But he did spend the next 30 days fighting for his life. But it's like we never talk about the truth. We make up stories. Find out the truth. By the way, I got that from the horse's mouth. He's still alive. But the landmarks are put there for a purpose. You're walking by faith in all things all the time. But a sign that says whole means you go around. Nope, I'm just going to keep walking in faith. I ain't going to get stuck. Yeah, well, that's like you're driving your Prius through a mud bog. You aren't going to make it. You barely make it out of a mud hole. You're ill-equipped. Pay attention. And don't overestimate yourself, please. I know we never do that, do we? I talk a big talk, I know. But years ago, I told my boys, I said, all right, listen, if you got any problems with boys at school or, you know, anywhere, find out how big their daddy is first. I said, because he's the one I'm going to have to deal with. And I said, if you pick a guy who's 6 foot, you know, if you got to pick a guy like Kyle, man, I'm going to have to bring a baseball bat. And so don't ignore the ancient landmarks. You still walk by faith and not by sight. By the way, what he was talking about there in context, I read you verse 8 when he said to be absent from the body, we'd rather be. We're looking forward to heaven in faith, that hope of glory. Because I ain't never been there. I ain't never had any visions of it. I believe it's there. As one person said, I have to believe there's a heaven because I've been living in hell for I don't know how many years now. And this isn't hell, just so you know. So don't ignore the signs that are already there. Usually if there's signs of drug use, there's drug use, isn't there? Years ago, I remember, and it's only been in recent years that I've actually paid attention to some of the signs, but some of my friends didn't realize they were being abused. The signs were there, but we were taught to ignore them. I know, it's none of your business, Pastor. What goes on? Listen, somebody's beating or raping one of my friends, it became my business. Unfortunately, that's the way I'm wired. It's gotten me into a few pickles, I ain't going to lie. But I believe what's right is right. I believe you treat all people the same. Black, white, yellow, purple, green. That's just your hair colors. Doesn't matter what you came, what nationality you're from. You're a human being. You're made in the image of God. And when we treat people the way they're supposed to be treated, they have a tendency to want to listen about your God. But I'll be honest with you, Christians can be some of the bigoted people on the planet. And that shouldn't be so. We should have people saying, that's a Christian. You know how I know? Not because they got a cross. Not because they got a big fish on the back of their trunk. Not because they got a hat that says, smile, Jesus is Lord. Because they went out of their way to do something for somebody who could not repay them. Now we say that should be base kindness. Unfortunately, it's not. We've gotten away from the ancient landmarks. We've gotten into what we call the new gospel, the free gospel. I love grace. I believe in grace. I walk in grace. If it weren't for grace, none of us have any hope. But let's remember the pitfalls. All things may be legal for me, but they ain't beneficial. So, you know, I might be allowed to go to southern Texas and drive 90 miles an hour on the highway. Might not really be beneficial. All right, now let's stand. By the way, Pastor Bob Montgomery says to tell everybody hello. He called me this morning. Somehow he keeps asking me every time he calls. He says, so how about that park down there at Mount Gilead, the state park? How's that for camping? I don't know. I don't like camping. For some reason, wants to come and camp at our state park. I said, more power to you. It's there. It's right down the road. Evidently, a lot of people like it. Yeah. Yeah. That's what the lake, well, you can't even swim in the lake. Huh? Are they? I'll tell him that. Maybe he'll show up. No, but anyhow, he said to greet the believers, so you've been greeted. He said, give you his love. And I asked him, he only had one grandchild. And I said, so his other daughter finally got married. And I said, any more grandchildren? He's got a two-year-old little girl. And the way Drew kind of had him, the little boy, who's now 15 and 6'4". His dad's like 6'6". He's huge. But I got a feeling this little darling has got grandpa wrapped around her finger. So, because when you can call a two-year-old sweetest thing you ever saw, you know she's got grandpa wrapped around her finger. Wait till she's three. I will tell you, though, there's nothing quite. My brother stopped by, he said Friday, and brought his little five-week-old baby, Chloe Lucille. Beautiful little thing. But I have to admit, I was sitting there holding her, and I said, I don't remember my boys being this small. You know, she was just so tiny, beautiful and attentive. And I thought, you know, how could anybody kill those? But we need to lower our morals so they can have more. Killed. Yeah. That's a miracle. That baby is a miracle. The most beautiful blue eyes I think I've ever seen next to hers. I'm learning. But anyhow, like I said, we have fellowship afterwards. I'm going to bless the food. And then we'll have prayer following that. And those of you who make it up to the calling hours, again, it's at Gumps in Cardington. And from 2 to 4. And the funeral is tomorrow at 11. And I wanted to mention this, but if you get a chance, how many of you have seen Unbroken, the movie? I highly recommend it. Highly, highly, highly recommend it. If you're going to watch anything on TV tonight, go get that movie, Unbroken. It's a true story. And just keep in mind that the guy that they're talking about didn't die until just before the Rose Bowl parade. Yeah, he was 97. And what he went through, but it was awesome. And you gotta read everything that they put on, and it's going to be part of my message tomorrow, just so you know. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. So, but anyhow, I can recommend good movies, and I can tell you which one's just, I think some of you said you went and watched Gods and Kings, Exodus Gods and Kings, and came back and said, really? Yeah. Told you. All right, let's pray, and we'll be moving on. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for your great power, your great love. And now, Father, I pray that you help us to pay attention to the landmarks that have been built into our lives, Father, to remember how this turned out the last time we did it. Father, I pray now that each time that there's a trap, there's a hole, there's a deviation from your path, Lord God, that we remember the landmark that is there that sent us back around the mountain. So, Father, I pray right now for mercy to flow in all of our lives, Father, and that you help us, those of us that are already stuck in the quagmire, you will help us to get out. Father, those who are contemplating things, Lord, that you remind them there's a landmark there for a reason. So, Lord, I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. We can't run out of them. But I thank you, Father, that you're moving in each and everybody's lives. Father, you're showing miracle power. And Lord, we pray again for Denny's family, for peace in every aspect, Lord. Comfort. And I thank you, Father, that we got to know him as a brother. And that, Lord, he's in your presence now. And, Lord, I bless your people here today. I thank you for them. I pray that you bring peace where there is war in their lives, understanding where there's confusion. And, Lord, we thank you for the time of fellowship we are about to have. We pray that you bless it. We thank you for this food. In Jesus' name, amen.